Ramsey TV.
The sickness is still among us, ladies and gentlemen. The sickness of mixing law in with grace. In the case of Paul's gospel, of beginning in spirit but being completed in flesh. The seduction to want to complete in flesh by human means, which will ultimately lead to boasting. For such, the Spirit is not enough. The complete work of Christ is not enough. But the human today, just like the human in Paul's day, wants to complete the work with their own effort and their own ability to obey, to keep the law, and to embark upon something that's now being called the process of sanctification, which is an evil saying. It is a destroyed saying. It's already been destroyed by God. It's a non-saying, and I'm going to expose it today. But it's being promoted still today. There are circumcisionists in our midst. They're not telling you to shorten your favorite reproduction organ, but they are telling you to complete yourself by obedience to works of law. One of them is Alan Hess. We already know that. He's compromised the evangel. His message is destroyed. He is anathema. I'm not saying he's not in the body of Christ. Teachers who are in the body of Christ, assuming they are, and who teach a foreign gospel that is a non-gospel, a gospel that has already been destroyed in that it is a non-gospel to begin with, these teachers, they will suffer loss. Their whole message is destroyed. It's a waste. They'll be saved as through fire. They'll have lost at the dais of Christ. It's terrible. I try to warn these people. I try to tell them, look what you're doing. You're repeating the first century crime of compromising Paul's gospel, or in the case of Alan Hess, not even acknowledging that it exists, or Stephen Jones, not even acknowledging that it exists. And now Thomas Kissinger, somebody who's promoting the work of Stephen Jones, not acknowledging that Paul has a distinct message. And by not acknowledging that there are walls around Paul's gospel, you let all their scriptures seep into it, including the law of Moses, and you destroy its essence. A nation is only a nation if it protects its borders and has walls. A gospel is only a gospel if it protects its borders and has walls. Paul's gospel does have walls. This is why he went far and wide, sent out his friends to check to make sure that the believers in the ecclesias were still adhering to his truth. His truth, a mental assent to a truth, not pursuing works in order to be saved, in order to be perfected. This is the lie. Oh, sure, you're saved, yes, but here's how to be perfected. You're not quite yet in the presence of God. You might be on your way if you can obey, if you can learn the process of sanctification. False phrase, evil phrase, destroyed phrase, yet being promoted today by Stephen Jones and by this guy called Thomas Kissinger, who is promoting the work of Stephen Jones. I met Stephen Jones. Many of you might know his name. I met him at the Restoration Bible Church in a suburb of Detroit. That's where I taught on justification by faith apart from works of law and was never invited back. Remember, that woman came up to me afterwards and said to me, I heard my gospel for the first time. Stephen Jones was teaching at the same place. His message is anathema. He's an Israelite, or he wants to be an Israelite. Just be an Israelite. Stop quoting Paul, for God's sake. If you're going to be a circumcision guy, then keep the walls of that gospel separate, just like I keep the walls of Paul's gospel separate. Don't pretend that your gospel includes Paul. It doesn't. The circumcision gospel does not include Paul. If you're going to teach the circumcision gospel, Stephen Jones, then don't let me hear you quoting Paul. Don't let me hear you bringing something from Romans in to your circumcision gospel. Just as Paul's gospel must be protected from the circumcision gospel, that is the gospel of Israel, the gospel God gave to Abraham concerning the earth and concerning the natural people Israel, that has to be kept clean of Paul's gospel. There's got to be walls, 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 distinctions, distinctions, distinctions. In the body of Christ, it's a mixture of Jews and Greeks. That's true. But the Jews give up their national advantage when they join the body of Christ, or when God joins them to the body of Christ. I'm going to play you some videotape today from a guy named Thomas Kissinger, whose message is destroyed, and he is destroyed. I'm not saying he doesn't have Aeonian life. He might. I don't know. But he's mixing these gospels, and so the message is destroyed. Paul says, anyone who brings you a false message is anathema. That is, devoted to destruction. So they will suffer loss. Destruction means loss. There will be great loss. The ministry is a waste. The ministry is moot. It's non-existent, basically. And you're just talking into the wind. And every word you say when you mix these two gospels is already destroyed before it leaves your mouth, because it's a non-entity. The message itself is a non-entity. It's a different evangel, which is not another, to quote our apostle in Galatians chapter 1. So let me go to Galatians chapter 1 and let you know what I'm getting all excited about here, because, again, it irritates the crap out of me to see this come again. People wanting to, you're saved by, justification by faith, but you need this other thing. You need obedience and this process of sanctification of the soul. That's another treacherous phrase. A destroyed phrase that doesn't belong in the scripture. It's not in the scripture. That's why. And yet Thomas Kissinger, quoting Stephen Jones, promotes this. It's evil. Galatians chapter 1. And let's start with verse 6, I am marveling, Paul says, that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another. That is, the evangel they were being transferred to was not another evangel. It was not another legitimate evangel, which Peter's evangel was. It's a different one, which is not another. That is, it is a bastardized gospel. And we're going to see that right now, which is not another, except it be that some who are disturbing you want also to distort the evangel of Christ. And there it is. They're distorting it. They're taking the evangel of Christ, the evangel of the grace of God, and distorting it like they're putting it in front of a funhouse mirror. And you no longer see it for what it is, but you see it bent and twisted, convoluted, turned upside down in some cases, as foreign elements seep into it and rob it of its essence. Some who are disturbing you want to distort the evangel of Christ. But if ever we also, here it comes, Paul pronounces destruction upon the people doing this. If ever we also, or a messenger out of heaven, should be bringing an evangel to you beside that which we bring to you, let him be anathema. Anathema, devoted to destruction. As we have declared before and at present, I am saying again, if anyone is bringing you an evangel beside that which you accepted, let him be anathema. Devoted to destruction. You think Paul's serious about this? He says it twice. Now, before I show you some video footage, let's go to Galatians 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Chapter 3 of the letter to the Galatians. Paul's beside himself. The J.B. Phillips paraphrase there says, dear idiots of Galatia, who bewitches you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was graphically crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you get the Spirit by works of law or by the hearing of faith? So foolish are you? Undertaking in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? So much did you suffer feignedly, since surely it is also feigned. Your suffering counts for nothing if you're embracing a bastardized, compromised gospel, which doesn't exist. It only exists in the convoluted funhouse mirror world. You're believing something unreal if you're believing this crap coming from Alan Hess, from Stephen Jones, from Thomas Kissinger. And if I find out other people, I'll give you their names, because they must be called out. They must have the anathema called out upon them. Like a pox be upon you. It's like leprosy, really. It's like, this guy's a leper. Stay away from him. It's kind of like that, because it's contagious. Evil conversation, Paul says, corrupts kind characters. This is evil conversation. It sounds good because it uses cool words like justification, sanctification, Pentecost. You know, Passover uses scriptural terms, but it's evil conversation because you have to be able to see underneath it. And the motivation is, let's complete this thing in flesh. He then who is supplying you with the Spirit and operating works of power among you by the Spirit. Did you get the Spirit by works of law or by the hearing of faith? According as Abraham believes God and it is reckoned to him for righteousness. Justification by faith is God pronouncing us righteous. And we have every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. We don't need to pursue sanctification. Because sanctification is not a pursuit. It is a declaration of God. These guys are crazy. This guy, Stephen Jones, and his modern day spokesperson. I mean, Jones is still alive, but his modern day spokesperson, Thomas Kissinger. They love this pursuit of sanctification. They love this next step. Justification by faith gets you close, gets you in the vicinity, but you must complete it. This is the precise lie. Seduction. It's a seduction because they use the right words. Oh, that the circumcisionists used against the Galatians. And thank God for Paul. Thank God he was monitoring this situation. He heard of it and his head explodes. He calls his scribe to him, Tertius. He says, put down this letter to the Galatians. He starts pacing the room, dictating it. Can't believe what's happening. And works of law is the issue here. And you're going to hear that in a video made by Thomas Kissinger that was sent to me promoting. Or take a look at this. This is interesting. This guy uses Paul, quotes Paul. That's the seduction of it. Uses some of the verses in Paul. Yeah, but you got to listen to the rest of it. You got to listen to the rest of it. Then what happens? He talks about justification. Yeah, but then what happens? All right, here we go. I'm going to comment on sanctification. Sanctification, before I start here, is a form of the word, Greek word, hagion. It's the word sanctification does not even appear in the concordant version. Why? Because the concordant version takes the Greek hagion, which is holy, and all its various forms, its various parts of speech, and it keeps the root word holy. No, it doesn't. I take it back. I wish it did, actually. It makes the noun saint. Holy is the adjective. You're holy. A saint is a holy person. So I take it back to concordance inconsistent, which really pisses me off. The Devar translation, I believe, has holy one. I like that because it keeps the root word. Holiness, holy, holy one. Why all of a sudden make it saint? Oh, that pisses me off. Why do we get the concordant version if it's not going to be concordant? It's all from the same root, hagion. Holiness is from the root hagion. It's the thing, it's holiness, it's a thing that God has done. God has established it. I'm going to give you examples of it in the scripture. The adjective is holy. Holiness is the thing. It's not a moral attainment, as many in Christianity think. So this sanctification process is a lie because sanctification is something God has done already for you. He's sanctified you. Being holy, being sanctified, holiness, this is what it means at the root element. This is the meaning. It's set apart for divine use. A holy person has been set apart for divine use. Holiness makes no comment whatsoever on one's moral attainments, on one's desire to attain things morally. It makes no judgment on one's behavioral attainments. It's nothing to do with it. In fact, I'll show you places where Paul calls sanctification an act of God and that Paul wants us to live up to it, but living up to it as a result of realizing you're sanctified is much different than placing sanctification as the next step to being righteous before God, the next step before you can be complete in Christ. This is the subtle lie. It's very subtle. You got to be able to read the seams on the fastball. You have to be familiar with the gospel, saturated with the gospel. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, Paul says. Why, Paul? Why should we let the word of God dwell in us richly? Because then you'll be able to have this internal guide, this standard, this template by which you can judge anything else coming down the pipe. You can see it out of your periphery. Oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Why? Because you have the demarcations. You know the walls. You have the definition of Paul's gospel. You know what justification is. You know what completeness in Christ is. And you know how it came. It didn't come through a process of sanctification. It didn't come through obedience to the law. In fact, it came apart from law. Oh, and they say that too. They do. Thomas Kissinger, Stephen Jones. Of course it came apart from law. Of course. Just like the damned circumcisionist of Paul's day. The goddamned circumcisionist of Paul's day. And I say that literally. God has damned it. Damned is a down judgment. That's all it is. It is a goddamned message. God has down judged this message, which goes along with anathema. This is a goddamned message. And it's popular once again, of course. We're not saying that justification comes by law. It comes apart from law. But now, and here's what they borrow, an Israel analogy. Now you're in the outer court of the sanctuary. Yes, you're in the outer court. How would you like to get into the presence of God? Well, that's going to take some work. That's going to take some obedience. That's going to take some overcoming. That's going to take some dedication. That's going to take something that you can do that will separate you from others, not because you have been sanctified by God, but because you have performed more admirably. You have focused your attention more seriously upon obedience. What must I do to perfect myself? And it is the classic, James versus Paul mistake. And Kissinger in this video, which you're going to hate me for this. I'm looking at my time. I have so much to comment on the video. I almost want to make a fresh start on it tomorrow. I know it's going to kill you because you can't wait to hear it. I mean, it is so illustrative. You are going to see it, but you have to slow down the tape. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to slow down the tape because you have to do that. Like a magician doing a trick, right? He pulls a rabbit out of his hat. How did he do that? The hat was empty 2 minutes, 1 second ago. How did he do that? Well, because he's trained, sleight of hand. It happens so fast, you don't see it. But if you can record it and slow down the tape and you look at frames, you know, 162 and 163, you see the move. You see the move. There's the move. I'm going to show you the move. There are several moves. I'm going to show you the move. I'm going to stop the tape of Thomas Kissinger, who was reading a pamphlet by Stephen Jones. Why are you... Unrelated. Why sit in a car and read a pamphlet? We can read the pamphlet for ourselves. Give us your thoughts. Oh, but he does. Kissinger does at the end of the video. It's the classic mistake. Assuming that James and Paul are saying the same thing. Paul says, we're saved by faith, not by works of law. James says, you're not saved by faith completely. Faith is worthless apart from works. Paul says, justified by faith apart from works, works, works. James says, no, works are essential. Kissinger's saying the same thing. Works are essential. Without works, you don't have any faith. As if faith and works are not sold separately. But faith and works are sold separately in Paul's gospel. Everything is accomplished by faith in Paul's gospel. And it's not our faith, it's the faith of Christ. Our faith attaches onto the faith of Christ, where the cars on the train that have no independent source of locomotion. It's the engine that has the power. It's the engine that pulls the rest of the cars. The rest of the cars are inert, and they latch on to the engine, and the engine takes them where the engine wants them to go. That is our faith attached to the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is the active faith. So everything is done. You are complete in Christ when you believe the evangel. And even that is a gift of God. The belief in the evangel itself is a gift of God. All is of God. How about that? And Romans 12:3, God parts to each the measure of faith. All is of God, 2 Corinthians 5:18. You're complete. Any works now, this is where people don't get it. I'm going to show you, slow down the film. I'll show you all the stuff tomorrow. People don't understand that we're complete in Christ now. So the works that we do upon apprehending this, it's icing on the cake. It's not essential to anything. Not essential to anything. These guys are making it essential. It's tricky because we're not saying that we don't want you to behave yourself. Paul's saying, I'm not saying I want you to do some heinous sin. Paul's not saying that. But he's careful to say, if anyone reads Romans 3 through 8, he's careful to say, and Ephesians chapter 1, and read a chapter 2 while you're at it, and read Colossians chapter 2 while you're at it, strains to say we're complete in Christ by what Christ accomplished at the cross. Anything we do after that, great. But the twist is, you must do this after that, or you are not completely in God's presence. This allows for boasting, because some people will obey, some people won't. It's an act of the flesh, because it's presented as a challenge. And this is not a challenge race, running a race for a prize. This is access to God. They're talking about access to God. I'm not having it, and I'm going to expose it on video, in their own words. Join me tomorrow.